Good evening. Welcome to the Stephen Knight Show. Hope you're having a great one. We're going to try our best to make it even better. Tonight, we are recapping the Grammys. You know, Beyonce broke records, Viola Davis broke records, and just a lot of highlights and controversy behind last night's 65th Grammy Award show. And then, FireWire Middle School in New York, they are catching some heat after a meal they decided to serve on the first day of Black History Month. And then there's a Hispanic woman who attends Copan State University, which is HBCU, and she was crowned the queen of the HBCU. And she received backlash because she's not Black. We'll talk about that and much more. Want to remind you, all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, our official website, thestephenknightshow.com. If you'd rather watch us, go to our YouTube channel, The Stephen Knight Show. When we come back, the question of the day and hot topics right back after this.
Ooh, yeah. Let me talk to you for a minute. Cleaning up today, I found a picture about around the time when we first met, and I started to reminisce about where we've been, what we've been through, and where we at, yeah. 1 year, 4 months, 3 weeks, 2 days, an hour, 30 seconds of each other, getting to know each other, loving each other, going through things with each other. And you've been right there for me through everything, everything, baby. And it ain't been easy, Nothing in life comes easy now. But if we work it out, I know, no doubt we'll be where we're trying to be. So let's make a deal. If you stay true, I'll stay down for real. Don't let nobody or nothing come in between us. And we'll be like Romeo, Juliet, Bonnie and Clyde, you and me, a love story. Baby, I appreciate you, yeah. And everything you do for me, my baby. I'll do anything in this whole world for you. But sometimes it's so hard to just be with you, baby. 'Cause all my friends talking about this and that. What he doing, where he at, and why he ain't called you back. But I don't care, 'cause I know where your heart is, and we know what this is. And it don't matter if they understand it, 'cause we ain't going nowhere. Let's make a deal. If you stay true, I'll stay down for real. Don't let nobody or nothing come in between us. And we'll be like Romeo, Juliet, Bonnie and Clyde, you and me, a love story. This is chapter one, called the story of us. From what we go through, we'll write our history. Time will tell, we don't know what will happen next, but I wanna see what the end gonna be. Yeah, yeah. Be true, I'll stay down for real. Baby, please don't let nothing come between. between us, and we will be love story.
You know what? I've been thinking. I can't even get through to you. I'm trying to talk to you, and all you do is push me away. What's wrong with you?
What's up, y'all? Crystal Kimbrough here, managing attorney, advocate, and entrepreneur, and I'm here at the Stephen Knight Show.
Good evening. Welcome to the Stephen Knight Show. We have a show dedicated to hot topics, everything everyone's talking about. Of course, we got to talk about the Grammys, so stay tuned for that. But we're mindful all over social media, Facebook, Instagram, of course, our official website, thestephenknightshow.com. If you'd rather watch us, go to our YouTube channel, The Stephen Knight Show. Please subscribe and comment. All right, well, we want to send our prayers out to the people of Turkey and Syria who lost, they're saying about 2,700 people due to a massive earthquake that hit at 4 a.m. while most people were sleeping. So they're still derailing from everything and trying to still find bodies. I think they found over 2,000 bodies so far, but a long way to go. And I heard that they're asking for international help in U.S. is sending over people to help with the search and rescue. So our thoughts and prayers to them. But switching gears, this is Black History Month. And Black History Month began over 100 years ago with a week-long celebration. Congress passed a law designating February 1986 as National Black Afro-American History Day, noting that this past February 1st would mark the 60th annual salute to Black History. And so each Monday for this month, we're going to highlight someone that you should know in Black history. So the first person is Bayard Rustin. He was an African-American leader in the social movements for civil rights, socialism, nonviolence, and gay rights. So salute to him and do your research. All right. Adam is stepping in for us because Nair is out today. But everybody, y'all good? Everybody doing good?
Yeah.
All right. Well, our question of the day is, what is your most used emoji? I'll start with you, Lania.
The crying laughing emoji.
Oh, crying laughing emoji. Okay. What about you, Chike?
I use a combination of it's heart, the prayer hands, and the power fist.
Mm. What about you, Adam?
Yeah, I'm actually looking through my phone. I don't really use that many emojis.
I wouldn't even think you did. For some reason, I wouldn't think you did.
Yeah, maybe it just skipped a generation or something. But yeah, I maybe the smiley face. Okay. I will say if it's Slack, because that's what we use at work, I have a custom emoji. It's called a Pika sheep. It's a Pikachu with a sheep body that's popping. So if I had to pick the most used emoji, it would be this weird Slack emoji that I found one day when I started my job and said, okay, this is just going to be me now. So
what does it mean?
I use it like for everything. Like if I'm approving something and like, oh, that's, you know, like it's a congratulations when people make a post. Okay. Or yeah, it's a good news thing. I don't use it for bad news, but yeah, it's random. And my phone, I don't really get into the emojis.
Okay. I use the roll eye emoji a lot. And the one emoji that I absolutely hate, I think it's very passive aggressive, is the thumbs up emoji. When you tell someone something, they thumbs up. I hate it, but I think it's very dismissive. Like, gotcha.
Yeah, I can see that.
And people do it all day long at work. Let us know what is your go-to emoji. All right, well, the Grammys were last night, and I watched. I thought it was a great show. Just to recap, well, what I did do is I recorded it so that I could go back and fast forward the parts I didn't care about. But I thought Trevor Noah did a great job. Well, Beyonce, she broke the record for the most Grammy wins by any artist. She won her 32nd Grammy last night. Harry Styles, he won Album of the Year for his album, Harry's House. And apparently the Beehive was not happy about that. I saw some crazy things online. 50 years of the hip hop all-star medley featured LL Cool J, De La Soul, Ice-T, Public Enemy, Queen Latifah, Rakim, Run DMC, Salt and Pepper, Wiz Cinderella, Missy Elliott, The Lox, Grandmasters, Flash, and Melly Mel, Big Boy, Busta Rhymes, Method Man, Nelly, Scarface, Lil Wayne, and many, many more. And I thought they did a great tribute to hip hop. Bonnie Raitt, she won Song of the Year, Just Like That, and she looked completely surprised. She was in there with Beyonce and Lizzo and some others, and she just looked surprised, but she won that. Lizzo won Record of the Year. Viola Davis, she made history earning a Grammy for her memoir, becoming the third Black woman to achieve the EGOT status, which means she has an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony Award. Now, Chris Brown, he made comments after the singer, or after the musician Robert Glasper won Best R&B Album, posted on IG, bro, who the F is this? Y'all playing, crying emotion. Who the F is this? But today he did go back and he shared a DM that he sent to this artist, pretty much apologizing. He said it wasn't aimed towards him. He said he did research on the artist and he said it's two different genres. They shouldn't have been in the same category. And so some people, they have respected his apology and he wished them all success and told them that he thinks he's a great artist. But he just didn't understand why they were putting them in the category that was mismatched. And so people appreciate the comments and people say it was a back-end apology, but he did it. So did you all watch? What were your highlights? What did you think? I'll start with you, Chike.
Yes, I watched. And I thought that it was the best Grammy in a while. Mm-hmm. It was like, it's been quite some time since I really enjoyed the Grammys like I did. Then yeah, kudos to them for putting off a good show. And let me just say, for the record, they say Questlove kind of organized the whole hip hop section, the whole hip hop part. Kudos to him, Questlove.
Yeah,
you're a genius, brother.
Yes, yes.
And I just want to add, Robert Glasper is the GOAT. He has done production for some of your biggest artists. He is a consummate maestro, not a composer. He's a maestro. Mm. For the record.
Yeah. Adam, did you watch?
No, I did not watch. I'm actually catching up on everything. And I do want to watch the performances because they do sound like there's some really good ones.
Yeah.
No, I didn't get a chance. I will, like I said, check it out. I know it's explained every year, but record, album of the year, song of the year, I'm still kind of just confused about how those are all different categories. I know one's for the actual like whole thing and then one's for one song, but then there's also a song. So I'm still a little confused about that, but it looks like it was a good performance.
Yeah, it was really good. Really good. Linnea, did you watch?
No, I've only seen snippets, but the main snippet I needed to see was the hip hop portion mm-hmm. of that, which was definitely a good thing to see. So congratulations to everyone who won all that good stuff. I'll probably see some more snippets maybe online on YouTube because, you know, I am out of the loop since I'm not on social media. And only what PK tells me.
Yeah, that's true. I just thought it was ridiculous. The Beehive, they were going after Harry Styles. Beyonce has more Grammys than any artist ever. Shouldn't have to win everything.
Can I just alleviate some of the confusion for some of the fans because they
one of y'all have an echo. I'm sorry, one of you have echo. Either Linnea, try hitting your mute again like you had before. Now talk.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
So I just want to clarify. Beyonce did a record, which was a pretty much a dance album, right?
Yeah.
She tapped into a genre, right? Harry Styles created kind of like original, not that Beyonce didn't create original new music, but she tapped into a genre that already existed. There were other artists that are in that genre that have made that genre popular. Mm-hmm. Harry Styles is pretty much created his own new style in this genre. So that's probably why he got the Grammy over Beyonce. I don't think that she was robbed. I just think that they probably weighed out the artistry and chose him over her. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
I think I hear some buzzing. Those bees are coming after Chike. She gave it a watch. Absolute Chike. Be careful.
I don't feed into it. Listen, Beyonce is an excellent artist. She has the most Grammys that anyone has ever won. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
If I see bees on your feed, I'll know what happened to you.
It's okay.
they hunted him down. Yeah. Yeah. One thing I don't understand.
Her mom is my Auntie Tina, so they can come for me if they want to. I have protection.
Right. One thing I don't get is how is Chris Brown still relevant and in the music? Like, I don't know. There's just so many more talented R&B singers out there. How does the industry keep encouraging this person to be around?
Well, he has consistent hits, and you know he released an album last year.
Couldn't they find someone else? His voice is fine, but it's replaceable. Couldn't they just find someone else to sing those hits and then not deal with the controversy around this guy whose history of abuse?
You know controversy sells.
Yeah, I guess so.
Linnea, would you have something to say?
Let me just hop in on this real quick. Chris Brown is an artist, he's an entertainer. That young man went through something back then that he's still being crucified for now. It's unfair, but he makes good music just like everybody else makes good music, and he shouldn't be continued to be crucified, period. And I said the same thing that he said. I didn't know who this Robert Glasper was. I didn't. I'm just being honest. Yeah, but he deserves just as much as any other artist because he's been in the game just as long. He hasn't killed anybody. He hasn't done anybody hasn't done that's in their world that's considered crazy or ridiculous or going through some things. That's just my little tidbit on that.
And I think he's incredibly talented. I think he's incredibly talented. He's a great performer. They're calling him the modern day Michael Jackson. They had that huge debate last year about that. Did you see that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we found out that the Migos rappers, Quavo and Offset, got into a physical altercation backstage at the 65th Annual Grammy Awards after drama brewed over the performance that they did, according to Radar Online. Quavo was set to take the stage with the live rendition of Without You when the tension reached a boiling point. Sources said moments before it was about to start, they got into a heated brawl because Quavo stopped Offset from joining him on stage and refused to let him take part of the tribute performance, despite the Grammys extending an invitation. Now, insiders said that Offset was not the aggressor. It's been a few months since Takeoff's sudden and tragic death, and it appears that there's still animosity between the chart-topping artists following the fatal shooting of their cousin and groupmate. TMZ was the first to perform the news about the fight. But Offset took to social media and said, "This is ridiculous, never happened. That's like my brother, y'all are crazy." He didn't use those words, but that's what he meant. Let me ask you, Adam, I know when my mom always said, "Where there's smoke, there's fire." And so if this is picking up on different outlets, do you think something happened or do you think that Offset, this never happened?
I mean, I don't know. They're so close. There's too much. There's a lot of history, right? So there's probably something that did happen. And it may have been something simple that really was nothing to start with. But yeah, I'm sure they're just trying to kind of move past it and, keep things going.
Mm-hmm. Linnea, what are your thoughts on this?
So I know that there was something going on before everything happened, and there was some friction within the group. But at the end of the day, they're both still grieving. Now we don't know for sure that something went down because you can never really go by blogs like that, especially gossip blogs. We don't know what happened, but at the end of the day, did it happen? Like, did the performance happen?
Yes.
That's all that matters. Nothing else matters in regards to the other stuff that's on the gossip blogs. As long as they were able to get through that performance and pay the tribute to their friend and their cousin, then that's all that matters.
Yeah. And it was a great tribute. Like that whole segment, it was sad, but it was a great tribute. I will take a quick break. We'll come back. Did I ask everyone else?
No. GK, I'm the only one else.
I'm sorry, GK. How can I forget GK? Go ahead. What are your thoughts on this?
I kind of felt because Cardi B was there, I knew that he was in the building. I knew he was around.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when they did the tribute, I was actually waiting for him to perform on stage. And it was a very beautiful tribute, by the way.
Yeah.
And when I didn't see him, and then I heard about the Conflama, I was like, oh, okay. Mm. Not the first time that we heard about some negativity between them. So I'm more leaning toward what TMZ is saying.
Mm-hmm. And TMZ almost never gets it wrong, by the way. I don't know what sources they have, but they almost never get it wrong. Well, look, we'll take a quick commercial break. When we come back, find out about a middle school in New York is catching heat for what they had on the menu the first day of Black History Month. And then the Hispanic woman, she wins Miss HBCU at Copenhagen State University, and social media reacts. Right back after this.
Soaking wet. once again when she fell down, made her cry. She don't know if she'll ever say yes to another man that might just treat her right. This love thing ain't a game. What used to be her happiness? She starts to think she's the reason. Why can't it ever work out with my man? Ladies, if you would let me apologize for everything my brothers did. Fellas, let me give you some sound advice. Her emotions ain't a toy.
Don't play with love.
Yeah.
so sweet, stay fly, low key. I need love, that's all about me. Can you match my energy? I know you feel this energy. Show me what you see in me. Don't tell me, baby, I got to see. Ain't nothing that can come between this feeling that you give me. Wake me up with it and put me to sleep. Pack your things and move in with me.
What's going on, cool world? This is Brad Marquis, and you are listening to The Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to The Stephen Knight Show. I want to remind you, we're all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, our official website. So check us out. Adam, where can we follow you on your social media?
Check me out at Fly As A Kite on Instagram and YouTube.
Okay. Ms. Linnea Love?
Even though I am on a social media break, y'all can follow. I ain't following until I get back on. And I don't know when that's going to be. But I'm Linnea Love on everything.
And Mr. Chike Evans.
You can Google me, Chike Evans, and all of my social media is there. And I just want to say, since you asked, Stephen, please also stream two movies, Mercy, which I'm in. And Love Him, the award-winning Love Him or Leave Him romantic comedy, which is streaming on Tubi, and Mercy is actually on Amazon. And yeah, that's it.
All right. And I'm Stephen Knight 32 on most everything. All right. So a New York middle school is apologizing after catching major heat for serving its students watermelon and chicken and waffles for the first day of Black History Month. Now, like the school has been identified as Nyack Middle School, which is a Nyack, a New York City suburb in Rockland County. Earlier last week, the school was under serious heat after students were offered chicken and waffles for lunch with a side of watermelon. The school principal, Dave Johnson, he pretty much said it wasn't their fault. It was their school, the district's vendor, Aramark, and released a statement. He said the menu was supposed to be Philly cheesesteak with a side of broccoli and fresh fruit. Released a statement and said, "We're extremely disappointed by the regrettable situation and apologize to the entire Nyack community for the cultural insensitivity displayed by our food service provider. I'm disappointed that Aramark would serve items that differ from the published monthly menu, especially items that reinforce negative stereotypes concerning the African-American community." Now, apparently, this isn't the first time the vendor was in trouble for something similar. In 2018, New York University severed its ties with the company after they came up with another special menu for Black History Month, which included ribs, collard greens, and for the drink, Kool-Aid. Aramark did release a statement. "We apologize for the unintentional insensitivity shown on February 1st, the first day of Black History Month. We acknowledge that the timing was inappropriate and our team should have been more thoughtful in its service. This was a mistake and does not represent the values of our company, and we are committed to doing better in the future. We will be partnering with the district so employees who work in the schools participate in training that aligns to the Nyack School District's vision and commitment to the equity-driven work. We believe this will provide a good learning opportunity to deepen understanding of the impact of systemic biases and negative stereotypes concerning the African-American community." They have a good attorney. I'll start with you, Linnea. Why do people miss this? Why is it?
You know what? A mistake is one time, right?
Right.
Anything else after that is a pattern. And what seems to be happening is this pattern happens right when Black History Month starts. So this whole, you know, we apologize, you know, it doesn't represent the values of our company. Obviously it does.
Right.
When Black History Month rolls around. Now let me say this. I don't love watermelon and chicken and waffles because I'm Black.
Right.
I love it because it's good.
Right.
And I get so happy to be Black.
Right. Yeah.
That's all. I'm done.
Yeah. Why even try to switch the menu up for Black History Month? Adam, what are your thoughts on this story?
I think someone was trying to get away with this. That's what it sounds like. Someone thought they could sneak in a joke, and I'm sure someone at the, you know, the president of the company probably is unaware of anything since it's a giant company, even though he should be. But someone tried this, and they've tried it before, and it was just someone that thought they were going to be funny, or they're going to be offensive, or whoever it was thought they would get away with it. And yeah, that's what happened. I doubt the Aramark higher ups were like, oh, let's switch up the menu. I think someone in the middle was trying to get away with something.
Right. What are your thoughts, Chica?
So I'm not quite sure. If there was an Indian appreciation, right? And they decided to serve hummus and chickpeas, would anyone be offended?
But
I don't really think that they would.
That's an Indian dish.
Yeah, and that's not a historically like racist or stereotypical thing that was perpetrated amongst Indian people. But
I'm just going to go on record and say this. I'm Black, and a lot of people eat fried chicken and waffles that are Black. And we kind of tend to gravitate toward that ourselves. It's a known thing. I'm just going to say that. Not that it's a Black staple, but we do kind of gravitate toward it. If you were doing that in the name of inclusion, it can be argued, but you should have consulted with someone before you decided to do it. You just don't, because it comes off as being ignorant. But me personally, being a kid at lunch and getting chicken and waffles with a side of watermelon, I probably would have been happy, honestly. Just saying.
Yeah, that sounds like an Abbott Elementary storyline.
Right. Exactly.
Some kids switching things up. Yeah.
My thing is, so the ribs, collard greens, I didn't see anything wrong with that, but the Kool-Aid threw me off for the New York University.
Kool-Aid is just unhealthy.
But my thing is, if they lost a client, as a result of that menu, they should be more mindful not to do, because I think they went harder with the chicken and waffles and watermelon. The ribs and collard greens, they could have got away with, they didn't have Kool-Aid. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the chicken and waffles and watermelon, someone was trying to be slick. I'm sorry. That person needs to go. Well, social media is having a field. Oh, I'm sorry, Lydia. You had something to add?
What's the probability that it was the same person?
Right, exactly.
Because school menus are done way in advance before the school year starts.
And that's what
I know from being an administrator in a school. The school menu will start way before the school year starts. Yeah. So what's the probability, if this happened in 2018, we're not that far removed from it, that it was the same individual?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Well, social media is having a field day at the Copan State University, an HBCU, and Marilyn crowned its first Latina student as queen. The student has since been identified as Kaylin Perez and has been getting bullied ever since the news hit the internet. Now, upon being named queen of the historically Black college university, Perez claimed that some of her haters believe that she's white. And therefore, she does not have a place at HBCU, much less deserve the title as queen of such an institution. Perez, a 22-year-old nursing major from Mount Airy, who also serves as a sergeant in the Army Reserves, said, "I knew it would happen when I first decided to run. I knew it might take this route. I just tried to remain focused on what I've done for this university. It makes me feel better." Now, Quan Perez, she claims that the hateful messages and bullying first began on TikTok after she uploaded a video titled "When Both Baltimore's HBCUs, Mr. and Miss, See Each Other." Perez further addressed the hate and said, "It was a mixture of me invading their space. People would say, how did Copen allow this to happen? And they were confused. And Black people can never have anything." Perez added, "My parents are immigrants from Guatemala. I can relate to people who were first generation. I was given the freedom to pursue my career. That's also another reason why I felt so welcome here at Copen." She continued, "As a person of color, I've been treated with love and support, and it's been very lovely. I've created a lot of friendships and bonds with them. It has been very pleasant. I stayed no matter the amount of hate I'm receiving, I will continue my reign. I ran for a reason, and I will finish with the same positive energy." Now, meanwhile, according to recent data from Maryland's Copen State University school records, 80% of the students enrolled in the liberal arts school identify as Black or African-American, whereas 3% students identify as Latino or Hispanic. According to the school, Perez was crowned the university's Miss Sophomore from year 2020 to 2021 school year, and then Miss Junior the following year. As for her newest Miss Copen State University title, she earned that this past fall. So I'll ask you, Linnea, do you see she's a student at this HBCU. She had these other titles. She ran for Miss HBCU. Do you see why she's getting backlash, or do you think, well, they vote her in? What are your thoughts?
Well, you just said it. They voted her mm-hmm. for those roles. I get why some people may feel some type of way. I get it. But if you put your personal ish to the side, whoever else ran against her, they just didn't. I'm not gonna say they didn't want it bad enough, but the people who voted decided she was the best option. Not that she's a better person. She mm-hmm. was the best option at this time to serve and to be the face of that title. Technically, she is a woman of color. She might not be a Black woman, but she is a woman of color. And the fact that she chose to go to a historically Black college says a lot. You know, I don't know exactly what her reasons were for picking that institution, but she probably could have went anywhere else, but she chose that as an option. And, you know, congratulations to her. I don't know if she assimilates to white. None of them know either. So at this particular juncture, just be respectful of the title and the person that's carrying it at this present time.
Mm-hmm. And apparently not only is she a student there, but she's been active. You know, she's obviously participating by being Miss Sophomore and Miss Junior. JK, mm-hmm. what are your thoughts on this? Because it seems like the issue is more from people on TikTok than people at her university.
Well, as a historical Black college alum myself, I don't see anything wrong with it. Mm-hmm. Me personally, in my school, we had white people in my school.
We did too.
Actually, there were three. And I actually applauded them because they decided to come to a historical Black college to get their secondary education. Listen, you wanted to come to our school to learn more about our culture or to get the education from our culture, kudos to you. But I have an issue with people who want to point out racism, but they are actually in there pointing out racism are racist themselves. I have an issue with that. You cannot point out or want exclusion when you want to be included. Mm-hmm. Because if I decided to go to Penn University, I would want them to accept me.
Yeah.
If they decided to create a school and they said no one else could come, then we'd be the first ones marching. Oh, this is racist. You can't. So if we create a school and it's known as a historical Black college, right? Everyone knows it. We don't tell white people that they can't come. We don't tell any other race that they can't come. And this woman is a woman of color. I don't see the issue.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on this, Adam?
Well, first, I am shocked that people on the internet have nothing better to do than to complain about random things. But I guess this is the state of the world we're in. Second, I'm just, like you said, Stephen, she won sophomore, junior. This was kind of predicted. So it is probably just a lot of people on the internet that have nothing else to do but complain. And we know that's what people on social media like to do sometimes. So this feels like a big non-story. From my point of view.
I agree. I mean, like I said, she is not, you know, I went to HBCU as well, which is the University Trojans. And there was two gentlemen that I knew of, one because I work with them, but they were twins. They were brothers. I don't know if they were twins. I think they were twins, but they're brothers for sure. One, he was on a baseball scholarship, and the other, he went to the school. And he was very active. We had they had a modeling organization on our campus, and he was part of that. He ended up pledging a fraternity, and so he was active, you know, so he embraced the whole experience. So like I said, they voted her in. You know what I mean? Like you said, she was popular, she was Miss Sophomore, she was Miss Junior, so she probably was known, and they voted her in. So,
and she probably was a good candidate for the school. She probably did very well for the school itself.
Yep. So congratulations, Ms. Perez. All right, well, a production designer claims that he pays $18.50 per month to live in a laundromat, and which he claims is less expensive than a regular apartment in New York City. He moved to New York from Chicago in 2019 after discovering the laundromat online forum. Despite the fact that his ex-girlfriend thought the idea of him living in a laundromat was revolting, he took the opportunity and moved anyway. He previously worked in a warehouse and had lived in a commercial space. According to CNBC Make It, the laundromat is located in Maspeth, Queens, and the previous tenant added a kitchen within the small space. On the other hand, the laundromat hasn't been a workspace in working order since 2005. And when he first moved, the rent was listed at $1,750. With 2 months upfront and then an $875 security deposit. In 2021, his rent increased to $1,850, and he pays $120 in utilities plus $60 for internet access. He said, "I like the freedom of a commercial space, even though there are definitely fewer tenants' rights. Something feels more ethical about moving into a vacant storefront that's been empty for years and taken up an apartment in some residential neighborhood that you're not familiar with." He says the small space makes him feel like a hoarder, but he likes living in the laundromat because of the community reminds him of his childhood. He was born and raised in a commune in Texas, but described his experience. His personal philosophy is that everyone is entitled to live in an open space despite being mugged in the neighborhood several months ago. Now, people are looking out for him more than ever, he says, and this reminds him of the true community he grew up with as a child. He says, "Living in a storefront has taught me more resourcefulness in a way I've never known before. I really can't be too picky about what comes my way. I just have to make the best of it, and that's the greatest skill I could ask for. It's nothing I could teach myself. It's something that you can only learn from life. That's really in line with the life philosophy I have." Adam, what do you think? This guy, he says it's a lot less than an apartment.
I think so. Probably younger Adam would have loved this. And, you know, who didn't? Well, maybe just me dream about like living in a video game store or a Blockbuster or something like that. And just like, yeah, this is cool. I live in something wacky. So I think it's pretty cool. And, you know, it is. New York has a kind of apartment housing issues. So, you know, might as well take up an empty spot and use it. So, yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
What about you, Chike?
So, you got to get it where you can get it. If he's happy there, then, I mean, who's to say? And the landlord's probably happy because it's not a working laundromat, right?
Right.
Getting some kind of income from the space. Hey, do what you got to do, bro. Live.
Lanier, and he's 27. Lanier.
I got nothing. It is very resourceful. I mean, who would have thought to, you know, move into that type of space to live? I don't know. I would love to see it.
Yeah.
You know, to see how he's maneuvering, like how big it is and what he has access to, because like, is there a kitchen? Like, how is that set up? I'm curious to know. I mean, at the end of the day, 1850 is still a lot, but it's cheap.
Yeah.
Compared to what is in New York, mm-hmm. You know, already for something that's tantamount to the size of a shoebox, right. And you're paying $3,500 for it a month. So, you know, he's probably going to be rich, like right. In a few years. Exactly. Like he's probably going to have like make millions of dollars sooner or later based off of how he's been living. He's going to be like sitting high on a hog at some point based on how he's been maneuvering with himself. You know, I know a lot of resourceful people, you know, especially on here, I ain't gonna name no names, but you know, they'd be moving and grooving. So kudos to him.
Yeah. I'm just worried about the rat problem because those New York rats ain't no joke. And you in a laundromat?
Yeah, but put your bed on stilts, high stilts, yeah.
Exactly. Our last story, the Beehive is not playing games regarding Beyonce's upcoming tour, with some launching GoFundMe accounts to fund their concert experience. Some fans have set up GoFundMe accounts in the hopes that their loved ones and friends will contribute to their concert experience, with goals ranging from $500 to $5,000. However, because Ticketmaster will use a lottery system to issue codes to fans, these fans still have to go through the hassle of the pre-sale. Now, according to TMZ, one fan wrote on their GoFundMe, "This is the only life experience I care about living before I die. I will get those front row tickets either way, but this is a safer than selling my kidney on the black market." Another said they have bills to pay, so set up a GoFundMe is the only way they can afford to buy the concert ticket. Now, the concert pre-sale in the UK has begun, but they have had some issues with the apps, and queues are closed due to the overwhelming demand. However, some people are opposed to the idea of fans creating GoFundMes, as the site was originally made to support real causes. One user wrote, "GoFundMe was made for American healthcare. This should be reported." Another said, "Would I be wrong to start a GoFundMe for these Beyonce tickets?" GK, good idea, bad idea?
Well, I mean, listen, people have done GoFundMe for crazier things. But if anyone knows the price of those Beyonce tickets, you need a GoFundMe to go get one of those tickets. However, I guess the Beehive is really going to be at me. I've been to a Beyonce concert. She puts on an excellent show, like A-class, A+. Mm-hmm. I can't justify the price. I can't. With her world-class performance, I can't justify the price.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Is there any artist you would create a GoFundMe to go see, Adam?
No. No.
No. I was trying to think that, like, how much would I spend on a concert? And I don't think I would spend too much. And yeah, I couldn't even imagine my favorite artist that I would want to see in concert. So yeah, I would probably avoid it.
Can I just add something, please, in the contrast of what you could possibly create a GoFundMe for? So like if Harvard said, we're going to enroll anyone in school, right? You only have a 90-day window to enroll. And we're going to take the first 20,000 people, right? And it's a possibility that you can get in, but you don't have the money. That's when you go do the GoFundMe for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think asking for money online, and before I forget, don't forget to check out StephenKnightShow.com for our latest merch, is yes. not really the best idea, especially like kind of the begging things. But yeah, there's just so much better purposes with using GoFundMe that have better meaning, I think.
You know, it was interesting. So I was wishing someone that I passively know on Facebook happy birthday, and she inboxed me. And she thanked me for the birthday. And then she said, I would never post this on Facebook, but if you want to bless me with a Cash App, here's my Cash App.
Oh, no. No, that's a thing now. When people's birthdays come around, they post their Cash App.
It's one thing if you post it on your page, which I think is tacky, but it's one thing if you post it on your page. But one thing to inbox me, someone I barely know, I just said, was happy birthday.
Wow.
Inbox me.
Yeah, no.
Next level.
Lydia, what do you think about this GoFundMe situation?
People just be peopling.
Yeah.
Sure. And that's just what it is. People who know me know I absolutely, unequivocally love Michael Jackson. He is my ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't creating no GoFundMe to go see Michael Jackson. As right. much as I love him, because I love him, like Mike is the ultimate for me, right. period. No one else, Mike. I am not going to, and I mean, and Chike said it, people have created GoFundMe for way more, it was something like a couple years ago with chicks wanting to raise money to get to, I think, the All-Star game in Vegas or something that was going on in Vegas a couple of years ago. They wanted to get flued out. So they tried to get to these players. And these, these heifers were going on GoFundMe trying to raise money so they can, you know, get out there so they can, you know, get they, you know, they think.
An investment, right.
Y'all do what y'all do, but let me tell you something. I hope when you do it, you take some of that money and pay your bills before you go so you can have somewhere to come back when you get back. And you have somewhere to live. You have food to eat. Because you just talk about the ticket to get to the show. What about the airfare or wherever she's going to be at? Don't you got to eat? Don't you got to get there? What you gonna do? I'm just trying to figure it out.
Right.
Y'all gonna be out there cooking?
Well, you know, there was the girl in New York who she didn't pay her rent to go see Beyonce at Coachella. And so she got back and obviously didn't have the money for her rent. But you know, the Beehive came together and paid her rent for her.
I don't know if you saw that thing that I put in my story, Stephen. But it's a meme, and it says, your back tooth looking at you.
Oh, I did see that.
For them Beyonce tickets.
Well, I saw someone post something that said, last month y'all complained about the price of eggs. Now y'all fight to get these Beyonce tickets. Make it make sense. Well, listen, Lania, as always, thank you for great hot topics. I will see Chike Am in movie reviews, and we will be right back after this.
I need you, babe. Don't leave me. everything has changed. Tell me what to do now that you're gone. How to make it through now that you're gone. Waiting on your phone call to see if I'm on my way. To these memories, wishing it more from day to day. Maybe it's really over, and I'm too blind to see the love affair once known is nothing more than a
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Adam, she can't let y'all take it away with movie reviews.
All right. Well, I'll kick it off with two things I saw. So I am attempting to still go through my Oscar-nominated movies, and the main movie I saw from that is Triangle of Sadness. And this one is done by, I forgot if he's Dutch or Swedish director, but it follows the story of this couple that goes on this luxury yacht cruise. And what happens is eventually the cruise ship crashes, and they all, some of these people with the luxury cruise ship end up on the island. And it kind of gives a story of like what's going on from the beginning of this couple getting to the cruise ship, being on the cruise ship, what happens, and then being on the island and how it ends. And So I'll say this, and my description hasn't been that great because I did not like this film, really. It was 2.5 hours. It went really slow. It won the best, picture at Cannes Film Festival last year. So it had some critical acclaim, but I understand what they were going with. And it was one of those kind of like commentaries on the ultra rich and how they treat the people who work on the yacht and things like that. And then how the tables have turned when they get to the island. But to me, it was kind of a big miss. It just meandered too many times, didn't really end up anywhere exciting. And then at the end was kind of nice, but nothing that I would recommend. So if you're trying to add to your Oscar checklist, you could probably skip this one unless you really like the director. And I've heard he's done great work before, so this may have just been a miss. But Triangle of Sadness, definitely something you can pass on. But the other thing I saw, which goes in the other direction, is called The Pez Outlaw. And what this is, it's kind of a fun, quirky documentary, only an hour and a half, about this guy who in the early 90s decides to buy a lot of Pez in Europe and bring it to the American marketplace and to different collectors' conventions to sell these exclusive Pez, because at the time, Pez America had a whole different agreement than the rest of Pez in Europe. And so the Pez in Europe, you couldn't get in the States. And yes, I'm talking about the little candy things that yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. So yeah, this guy just randomly decides to go to Europe, find the factory where the Pez is made, and he meets people there and they sell him a bunch of cheap Pez because they're just excited that someone I guess recognizes that there's a Pez factory in the middle of Slovakia. And he goes and he does this whole thing of becoming a big seller in the Pez collectible industry, much to the anger of the president of American Pez, because he A, doesn't like Pez collectors, and B, he thinks this guy is like circumventing what he's been trying to keep out of the United States. So it just kind of goes into the story of him and how he's got along with kind of discovering this Pez collection and then getting into it and then kind of being shut down by the big Pez, as we say. So they do a lot of fun little visuals, and it was good. It's really fun. It has some cool little moments, and for an hour and a half, that's like perfect documentary length for me. So if you're looking for something, it's on Netflix, so it's already essentially free, and it's a fun little watch.
Okay. I didn't actually see anything from the Oscar realm. One of the films I saw was the documentary Pamela, from Pamela Anderson. And I watched it just out of curiosity, because basically she says that her documentary is a love story. And she talks about basically her career from the beginning, how she got started, through the years, through her time with Tommy Lee and then up till now. And if I had to take away something from it, I think that Pam is still in love with Tommy Lee. I think
she said that was the only person that was the love of her life. She said that.
Yeah, and she's married now. She has a husband. She's married to somebody else.
Oh,
she's
married again?
Yeah, she's married. But I really think that she still really wants to be with Tommy Lee, whatever that means. But her trajectory through her career was pretty interesting. I thought it was a pretty decent story. She narrates it herself. I think I find her to be very real, very down to earth about it, as down to earth as she can be. And You know, to see her with two grown sons, you know, is a little weird because, you know, I see Pam Anderson as, you know, who we all know Pam Anderson to be. But, you know, she's also two grown men's mother, you know, so it was interesting.
Didn't she let, they put together the documentary, from what I understand, and she let them read, she let the kids read her diaries.
Oh, yes.
Her personal thoughts.
Yeah.
And they were able, she gave them complete creative control.
Yeah, it was produced by her elder son.
Yeah.
He produced it. Yeah. Pretty interesting. It's a good watch if you watch documentary films and you're into that. It was a good watch.
Yeah, and good things.
The next thing that I saw was the Teen Wolf movie. So it's the tail end of the story of the Teen Wolf series. And you know I love stuff like that. It was, what is it, 25 years later? And they picked it back up, and the stars Tyler Posey and Crystal Reed. Everyone that's basically in the series is in the movie, except for the Styles character. He's not in the movie. But it was pretty interesting. It's a good story. It continues off where the series ended, and it also has room for continuation because there's a new Teen Wolf. So we'll see where that goes, if MTV is going to pick it up and bring it back to television, or if they're going to do a series of movies. I don't know how they're going to do that. But it's an MTV franchise. I don't know if they're going to continue the story on Paramount, because Paramount's the parent company. But it'd be pretty interesting to see where they're going to go with that. But they did hint that it was going to continue. And nice. What I didn't know is that that show was based off of an animated series from the 80s.
Mm. Oh, so the original movies were based on the same series?
I'm thinking so.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Or maybe they created the cartoons from the movies.
Movie.
But the series, the animated was a series. So it went more in depth with the story. And right. So the series on MTV picked up from the animated series, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Special effects are pretty good for it to be an MTV production. It's pretty good. And the last thing that I jumped into was the Harlem series. It's the second season on Amazon. Yeah. I like the second season better already. It's very interesting.
Second season's good. It's really good. It's really good.
What I don't like is the shelling out of the episodes on every Friday. Just give it all to us and let us absorb it and leave it alone. There's other things to watch, y'all. Stop right. doing this like it's regular TV. It's streaming for a reason. Let's use the streaming part. Let us give us all of it. Let us absorb it so we can move on to the next thing. Because what happens with me, let me talk to y'all out there in the streaming world. What happens with me, and I review for a living, I review. If I'm watching your show and you delve it out like it's regular TV and another network, another streaming service gives me the whole season, I'm going to absorb those seasons so I can get them out the way. And I'm not going to come back to you right away. I might not come back to you until it's too late. Mm-hmm. Or I'm uninterested.
Yeah. Yeah, they drop episodes every Friday. They release the first two. Because I was watching the first one. And then it was late, and I saw I was going to the second one. I said, well, I have to come back and I'll finish the season over the weekend, but it was only the second, you know, the second episode. But I agree, it was really good. It was really good.
Yeah. And of course, I'm watching Last of Us on HBO. Listen, that show was so good.
Mm-hmm. I heard it was good.
Actually get uncomfortable. I get uncomfortable watching it because I feel like I'm in the last of the days.
It is very stressful. I
don't like it at the same time.
Yes. Yeah, you're on edge and you're like, anything could happen. And if it's not happening with the zombies, then anything else could happen.
Yes.
And yes, I agree. And they did this last episode, I forgot to mention, I saw it too. Are you caught up, Chike?
I'm caught up.
Okay, yeah. So I think they did a good job with this episode and a good relationship building with the main characters. But yes, yeah. every time. They put that music on and you're like, oh mm-hmm. my gosh, is something happening? And nothing happens, but you're just, yeah, they put you on edge.
Uh-huh. Very good show.
Check it out. Anything coming down the pipeline?
I want to see this house party because I think I'm going to be interested in that. So I think I want to check that out.
I think you said it was good. Anything for you, Adam?
I mean, eventually Ant-Man, but I think I'm still going to go through and like check out The Fabelmans. I know that's one of the Oscar movies and it was a Steven Spielberg movie. So probably try to hit up a few more Oscar films first.
All right. Well, guys, thank you as always for letting us know what to spend our time and money on and whatnot. And see you next week. We'll be right back after this.
Thanks.
PA Dre shit.
Yeah. Just that soulful shit I be talking about, bro.
Facts.
PA Dre, what up? Let's get to it. Look. I'm out west, yelling Jersey like I'm close to home. Was on the block like Moses, this ain't Post Malone. We quoting poems that we never had to plagiarize. Stepping to Goliath till I bring him down to David's size. A shaking fries, a complimented if you talking beef. Penny per thought is even less when your talk is cheap. These subtleties are befuddled, nigga walk with me. Even when I got the pen sealed, they won't sharpen me. They telling tales like these shits are really cautionary. The flow water, but really I be off you fairies. Nothing's arbitrary, I put that on my mama's soul. I'm a man before my sisters play my mama's role. And I'm Nicole, so don't stress where that diamond is. Watching me maneuver like I'm a Sean with the Heimlich is. King of my city if you ask, but they saying them. The mayor trying to give me the keys that I gave to him. I played it with and told Lee I'm talking honest. Plus I got a few bucks like I'm Middleton and Giannis. The road was turbulent, I knew it'd be a little bumpy. I ain't Johnson, but this rap shit got me living comfy. I get it monthly, like, what you end the sentence with? Rap niggas is goofy, they always on some friendly shit. But turn your back and like honor, yeah, they been a dick. Fuck them though, let's appreciate this penmanship. Let's appreciate this penmanship.
Yeah, talk to him.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo. One time for all of the soldiers who never folded and did what they were supposed to do. It's only a chosen few that I can show devotion to. It's hard not getting emotional, cause you stayed solid despite everything you was going through. Was the definition to show and prove. Can't believe you're gone, but I know it's true. So I sing your song in a vocal booth. I wanna be close to you, so I pour out some liquor in the cracks of the concrete where the roses bloom. You was my ace since the playground. Dreamt of running this rap shit, giving the industry a shakedown. Standing at your grave mound, feeling guilty cause shit's starting to shake now. This ain't at all I was supposed to play out. Just know your memory is well protected. Rarely aggressive, but when it comes to the similes, I'm well respected. Pouring my soul through a pencil tip. If you listening, then I hope you appreciating the penmanship. Yeah. My soul through a pencil tip. If you listening, then I hope you appreciating the penmanship.
PC, what up? Let's appreciate this penmanship.
Hey, this is Joy Starr. You're listening to the Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to highlight our Black-owned business. It's Sustainable Home Goods. And this is ethically made artisan goods. It says, decorate your home with some of the most stylish and ethical home goods in ATL. Expect everything from plant pots to flowers, ceramics, and candles, and more. And they are actually located at Pond City Market and other online shops. If you're looking to buy all this video, we'll have a link. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you again next Monday. Good night.
Tonight is all eyes on me. Everything's gonna be all right.